welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you're an author, independent recorded artist, or have a great idea for a weekly show, we'd love to hear from you. Visit artistfirst.com for all of the details. This hour, it's my privilege, Tony Kay's privilege, yes, that's me, to introduce our author this hour, Amanda A. Brooks, author of Thunder Mountain Brides. This is her third release in a 10-part series of Westerns. You're going to love it. If you enjoy Westerns, you're going to love Amanda A. Brooks. Follow the link we've provided at artistfirst.com for thundermountain.nation2.com to learn all of the details. Let's give a warm welcome to our guest, Amanda A. Brooks. How you doing?
Howdy, everybody. I'm doing great. I'm glad to be on the air today promoting my book.
Well, it's, you know, a little different than the 1880s in Colorado, but that was a different type of communique back then. I mean, everyone was writing letters and reading papers.
I kind of miss that aspect. You know, today everybody's hooked on the computer and Facebook and... I kind of miss that old communication of sending snail mail. Today it's just a different kind of world. People don't call people anymore or send letters. They communicate by email.
Amanda, there are more people writing today than ever, ever, ever because of the cell phone.
Right.
They're texting everything, they're Googling, they're looking up everything. I mean, it's been absolutely a speller's. If you could make money on the number of people texting, you'd be wealthy.
I know.
Well, a different pace today, Amanda, than the days you write about in the old West. And
right.
You have a fabulous website, and you've done your homework about the 1880s, turn of the century, what things would look like, what people dress, how they live, you know, really salt-of-the-earth folk. And you've brought them back to life for us, and these characters, with a little bit of a Harlequin romance, which I think all of the good Westerns obviously have that romantic element.
Correct. I was, you know, you kind of compare it, like I've mentioned before in books one and two, you kind of compare it to a little bit of Little House, a little bit of Dr. Quinn, but with a little bit more steam.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes it a fun read for everybody. I think anyone perhaps 16, 17 and up, wouldn't you? In age?
Yes, I always thought 18 because there are some issues in the book that might not be appropriate for a 16-year-old, but I could say 16, but I would probably go with 18 and up.
Yeah, well, okay. But it is that type of book that for adults, you get into the storyline and you're captured by it. I think it's just fabulous. Thank you, Amanda A. Brooks, for supporting the arts on the Artists First Radio Network and for returning for the release of your third book. This is your third interview. And somewhere, I had written down the dates. Let's see. You were on with us May 4th of 2011, August 30th of 2011, July 24th now of 2012. So this will be your third time. And,
right.
And how exciting it's been. I believe one of the interviews, didn't we have two others that were involved with the book?
Yes, we had my first cover artist, Margie Parsons, and then we had my model for Edith, which is in book one, Callie T. Rawson.
Are you hearing, audience, you know, models, okay? This is serious business. It's a fabulous series, something you'll be proud of, I know. Are you really getting a certain amount of anticipation as the series grows? You've got three of them really under your belt now, and there they are. Wow, they're good, well-written.
That
sort of raises the bar, I mean, every time, right, to outdo yourself.
Well, when you were mentioning the dates of May 4th and August 30th, the number three, you know, those two took 6 months in between to be released, but number three, Danny, took 11 months to be released. It just was a big challenge in so many ways, not just the artwork, but also the writing. It just was a lot longer, but, you know, in the end, I'm kind of glad it took a little bit longer to do, because in the beginning I was trying to think, okay, how do I want to create number three? And I think I had to keep stopping and starting a few times because I wasn't happy with the direction it was going. But so I'm kind of glad that it took a little bit longer to write, because I found the perfect direction. And amazingly, unlike books one and two, I felt like my characters wrote my story instead of me. I felt like they kind of controlled it instead of me. And I was like, I never had that experience before.
The Devil and the Lord Danny, the third book in the series. The titles, you already have them mapped out. Was that a product of your first book?
Well, the title, you kind of have to map out the characters and the titles. That's very important. I mean, to get the names of the heroes.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a theme, a guide. Is that right? I mean, so you've really, you know where you're headed with some of the essence of each book in the series.
Yes.
So that gives you an overview of the characters, how much time you can spend with them, or the topic, the theme you want to cover in that particular book in the series. So what a fascinating approach to writing, and congratulations. Well done. I love the website, too. You've done a lot
Thank
of work
you.
On the internet there.
I think it is my third website. I basically created a new website about less than a week ago, because I just wasn't happy with the other website, and it took me about 2 days to find the perfect website, something that I was happy with. But I'm now happy with this new website. I really like the templates and now,
this is a topic that you can wrap your arms around, okay? So, audience, if you love Westerns, if you enjoy themes revolving around the 1880s or in Colorado, this is a very positive book that shows the strength of the human character and in real time, in a dated time, okay? Mm-hmm. So historians, those who like that type of material, will love your series.
The great thing about book three is, unlike the first two, it's very, with a little bit of dramatic, it's very light, very comedic, very slapstick, very screwball. I wanted to go a different direction from the first two, because the first two are so serious. And I just wanted something light and fun. And as a lot of writers probably know, even or movie makers, writing comedy is really hard. I mean, it has to be, take I Love Lucy for an example. I mean, writing, making it funny is really hard. I mean, it was a challenge, but it was such a fun challenge because it was such a light story.
Yeah, and telling a joke it requires a context.
Right.
So you've built the context in the characters, the event, the scene on the screen, in that scene, and now to create the humor that's compatible with that scene, that's a challenge.
I mean,
what would they say? Is there a spittoon nearby? Because they might go, halfway in the sentence, you might hear a ping, and how do you put that in the scene? Write that into the script.
I know. It just, like I said, it was a challenge because you just had to, there are times where, like, oh my God, is this funny enough? Or, that's why I kept saying I kept stopping and starting a few times and having to do a makeover. or a redo. The thing with, I based it around Hunter Lord, the main character, having a midlife crisis at the age of 40. And, you know, as men know today...
Hey, that's old in 1880, where the average life expectancy was only 36 for a male.
I jokingly say in my books, in Thunder Mountain, my characters live to be like 100.
Yeah, they'd have to. No one else was, but
I know.
So,
well,
they did.
They were healthy. They, you know, so, you know, I mean, so I had to base it around 40. I thought that 20 or 30 was too young. You know, especially for the males. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to forget about they only lived to be this age in 1880.
Yeah, what fun. And you really have to think in the period, right? You know,
yeah.
They didn't have a telephone. There was no texting, but did they have telegraph? I forget to...
They did have telegraphs. It was the beginning of the telegraph. A couple of my characters do send telegraphs. So they did have that. I haven't introduced... I might in a future book introduce somebody using the telephone for the first time. So that'll be kind of exciting.
Wow! Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. Turn of the century. All kinds of neat things. Who's driving the latest vehicle through town?
Maybe that'll be in a different series. But right now, they're still always going to use like the buggy and the, you know, wagons and whatnot. But at least I think I can introduce the telephone by the end of the series.
Yeah, there are some recurring themes that you enjoy,
yes.
Such as, of course, the romance. That's, of course, why not? Thunder Mountain Brides. Imagine that. Young women and men in that courting, marrying age of 18 to 28, perhaps, in that period, you know, there was very much the sense of the romantic, of wanting that Prince Charming, that powerful male to come into their life and pick them up and carry them away.
The only difference is these women weren't the women that weren't like today thinking about marriage. I mean, they're not going to go to the local bar or saloon, you know, for happy hour. You know, they're not thinking about marriage. They're just thinking about surviving in this world. And they even, when a guy comes into their lives, I mean, they fight it because that's not what their intentions are. They're not really thinking about, oh, I have to get married, you know? I mean, so that's the great thing about it. You know, I don't have these women like today who are, you know, going to bars or going to on these dating sites, you know, these women are out for something, but it's not for a husband. That just happens.
Not too many bar scenes.
I know. Well, yeah, they can't really go into the saloon. I mean, they're not really allowed to go into the saloon, so.
It's just incredible, the history, the background. What about the towns themselves? Have you looked into some cities and the history behind those towns to help fill in the gaps?
Well, kind of the picturesque. I mean, basically, Thunder Mountain is fictional, but it's set between Denver and Vail. And so I do have a train going into my town, so it's not all carriages or whatnot. And I also have the picturesqueness of probably what maybe Vail or Aspen looks like with the mountains. And, you know, during the summer it's really hot, but during the winter it's cold. But it's just so picturesque. I mean, in all my books it's described as being so picturesque and a Rocky Mountain masterpiece. And just the idea of having that scene in the mountains behind you with snow or whatever, I kind of want to go there, you know. It's just the way I describe it, it's like I'm kind of jealous that my characters kind of get to live in this little town, you know, that's so beautiful or such a masterpiece.
Now, within the series themselves, do you attempt to cover all seasons, a year, a period of time, or two?
Well, my first book, Edith, was actually the day she comes into Thunder Mountain is actually on my birthday, minus the 1880 parts, but she comes into Thunder Mountain on August 30th, 1880, and I purposely did it that way. I thought, I want her to come into town on my birthday, you know. And her story goes into December, and then Agnes's story starts from about December, I want to say, you know, to January, and then Danny's story, this new one, is in the spring. So, yeah, so the next, and the one I'm writing now will be in the summer. So, yeah, I'm kind of covering all the seasons.
And that creates a whole nother dynamic because, obviously, in the winter, it's cold.
Yeah.
Where's everybody at? Well, they're inside. They're chopping wood. Maybe they're knitting, sewing, you know. That's a little different than, and of course, in the spring, what now? Preparing for crops. It's a whole. So, yes, it makes a nice way of looking at a community, the Thunder Brides themselves, Thunder Mountain Brides themselves, in different times of the year. Wow.
Right. I mean, and with, and it's kind of going, and pretty soon it'll be going, and I can tell you this, but I, you know, without giving too much away, but it's pretty soon going to go into August again. And with August, Edith, my very first heroine, surprisingly, it's going to be, happens to be the day she went, came to Thunder Mountain. A year later is going to have a baby on that date, so it's kind of ironic that, you know, she'd have a baby the day that she came in to Thunder Mountain a year before.
Now, we're not describing Amanda A. Brooks, are we?
No.
Oh, okay, just checking.
No, actually, the heroine that's so much like me is actually number two, Agnes. She's very much like me. She's very near and dear to my heart, which was kind of difficult to write. Because she was so close.
So much like you, describing your characteristics, your hopes, your dreams, aspirations,
right.
Expressed through her, yes. And every author, I believe, have certain affinities to their characters, some more maybe exaggerated than others, in the sense they'd say, well, I can have this character be and do what I'm not myself.
Right. Well, the thing is, I kind of wanted to make, although people don't hate Danny, but with Edith, I wanted to make Edith very, I don't want to say despicable, but I didn't want to make her likable. And in fact, I actually wanted people to hate her when they read her, but surprisingly, it didn't happen that way. Everybody's like, oh, she's awesome. And I'm like, wait a second, I want people to hate her. You know, that was the whole point. And, you know, I didn't want... You read other romance novels where you like the heroines, but in this case, I wanted people to despise her, you know, because she was the bad guy.
Yeah, well, and you see that Amanda A. Brooks, our guest on Authors First with Tony Kaye, you do see that today all over the television and Lifetime and so forth, where the demon in the plot really is the favored child. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, you know, they couldn't be any crueler or meaner, but somehow you're drawn to that character, to like that character.
Right, and in her case, though, I think it just was out of vulnerability that she was that way. And then with Agnes, the only issue I had with Agnes is I was afraid that people, you know, like I said, she's so near and dear to my heart. The only thing is she feels like her religion or her, you know, is a restriction or a curse. And I was afraid how people were going to read into that, you know, and thinking... You know, well, you're most like her. Is that what you think? But luckily, everybody was very supportive of that. And then with Danny, I just wanted to make somebody who is light and fun and just go a whole totally different direction.
Yeah, what's with the red shirt?
Oh, I'm talking about Hunter's robe.
Yes.
Oh, he likes to wear a lot of. He wears a lot of robes, so I kind of. Like if you see on the front and the back cover, you'll see two different robes. But Hunter is very, he likes to wear a lot of different colored robes.
Well, the devil, okay, well, it's red, okay, that's...
Oh, no, you know, that's a play on, the Lord is Hunter Lord is the hero, and he owns the Lord Above Saloon. The devil is actually Danny. It's a play on her being, he calls her a little she-devil. So the devil is actually Danny. Because
there we go.
She's such a Helion. She's a very, she causes a lot of issues. I mean, she tries to shut down his saloon.
So wow. Okay.
Play on words.
And I think everyone may know someone just like her.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anybody like her today, but but I basically when I first created her, I kind of thought of Natalie Maines, who's the lead singer of the Dixie Chicks. I kind of had her in my mind when I was creating her. And how
that bad girl image.
Yeah, kind of, or just she's very outspoken, she's very rebellious, and so I kind of was, I thought, okay, who's most like that today? And I thought of Natalie Maines.
Yeah, well, it helps to visualize real life people, maybe your mom, your dad,
Yeah.
Tony K, let me say, visualize.
Yeah.
And then create a character around that. And I've found that authors universally are people watchers.
Yes. I mean, I read a lot of authors who say they have a picture of a celebrity up on their wall when they're creating their characters. And I don't go that far, but I do have, like in my files, I do have pictures of a celebrity. And then I have to find models who kind of match that celebrity, since I can't use the real celebrity.
Do you build the world around yourself, Amanda? I'm one of the few who actually had a glimpse into your bedroom, into your library, into your special space there, writing and creating. Have you morphed that into, have you moved your writing area, or are you still in that comfort zone?
I'm still in that comfort zone, although my parents say I should be out in the living room so I have better back support.
Better back support, yeah, yeah.
But
okay.
I just, I have everything. I mean, I have a laptop, so I should be out in the living room. But
you feel
reason,
comfortable there in that
yeah.
world somehow. I think your mind can remain focused on this world you've created and this
mm-hmm.
series.
Just, it's like I'm most comfortable in my room. And, it's like I should, monopolize all the other space in my apartment. But for some reason, I like to write, in my room.
Now, your parents, they're not asking you to move quite yet, are they?
No, like I said, they just want me to move into the living room or something.
They actually want to see you once in a while.
Yeah. Or,
okay.
They just want to make sure that I'm not, that, like I said, that I have better back support, so. writing at my desk.
You have a beautiful, beautiful family, Amanda, and a tremendous support team behind you that believe in your project. Are they anticipating? Do they enjoy the series?
Yes, I mean, they have been so supportive. I was thinking that, with the money I put into this project, they could have said something like, you can't afford this or whatever, but instead they're so supportive, and my dad would email me. He goes, so when is your third book coming out? I'm just asking, when is it coming out? And so I finally, on May 25th, I emailed, it'll be out in 2 hours, So they're just so supportive. They're like, oh, make sure you buy copies for these family members, and I'll send it to them. And I've just been, they've been wonderful. I mean, I've just been so blessed that they've been so wonderful with the project. And when my dad was here last in town, he said, oh, I'll make sure when we have the 2-for-1 sale, I'll buy you more picture frames so you can hang your posters up on your walls, for my book covers. And so they've been fantastic.
Now, for every author, the creative process, writing the books, that's the fun stuff. That's what you really, really want to be doing, you know, pounding it out, thinking about your characters, moving through the series. There is the reality, though, of, well, I need to tell people about this book. And audience, let me tell you that if you haven't gone there yet, please follow the links we provided for Thunder Mountain Brides. And then when you're there, you can read about the series. Then you can look at the collection. And then they're listed in order of production. So the first, The Outlaw School Teacher. The second, Hidden Secrets. And now the third, The Devil and the Lord Danny. These three are available for purchase right now. Is that right, Amanda A. Brooks?
Yes. Just like Tony said, just follow the links, and you'll see the links for Create Space. And I hope you get this series. What has been amazing is that usually, you know, that the audience would usually be girls who buy romance novels, but I have actually had more guys than girls telling me that they want to get my series. And I'm the first thing that crosses my mind is, okay, pigs do fly now. And I look at them and I said, okay, you know it's a romance novel, right? And they say two things. A, well, you did include the word Western in there, and B, I want to get it because it's written by you. And I'm just amazed at the support that guys want to buy my books, you know, despite the fact that they're romance novels. And I'm like, wow. So more guys than girls have been buying my books. And thank you, whoever you are.
Yes, therefore, you should know there needs to be the other link next to store, and that is photos.
Right.
Because they want to see you.
Right.
You, okay? Because you've got, you know, the gray matter between the ears and everything outside is just as equally beautiful. And so you're a lovely, lovely lady. You have a creative intellect and a style, and your writing is just beautiful, just
Thank
lovely. Never a dull moment, and easy to read. So
this
I think that
only because this third book I didn't have my my editor, and she had to back out of the project due to some issues, and. I was like, at first I was like, oh no. But then I thought, you know what? She, basically when she edited my first two books, she said they were great so far. We just needed to tweak them to make them a little bit better. But I felt that I could do it myself. So my challenge was like, I edited my own book for book three. It was a little scary. And, there were a lot of changes. I think that's one of the reasons also, too, it took me 11 months. But I feel like by the end, I finally hit, okay, you can order now. I just felt so happy, and I know that it's some of my best. That was the challenge of editing my own book. And well, I will say this, I will do it again.
You will.
Yes.
Do you think you'll end up editing other people's books, too?
You know what? I've actually been told I have edited people's work, and not books necessarily, but it's easier to edit other people's works than your own because you're not biased with other people's stuff. But I have done it before.
Well, so this is a mom and dad, feel good. This is a lifelong career.
Yes.
Okay, so you found that niche, that thing that you love. And maybe it's not paying all the bills. It's an avocation, but ultimately it could become a vocation for you.
Right. I know it's not going to be, I know Jackie Collins, but I've done really well so far. But it started out as a hobby and it ended up, yes, I will say it. It's going to be ending up as a career, you know. I mean, I'm not ready to quit my day job yet, but it's going to be a career, and I already have a second series in my mind once I finish this first series.
You were inspired to begin this through the movie High Noon. You make a point of discussing that on your new website. thundermountain.nation2.com. Our
yes.
guest this hour, Amanda A. Brooks, Thunder Mountain Brides, the series, 10 volumes. So this is an author you can put a hook in, audience, and stay there. And she'll just keep coming back and coming back with more. But you were inspired by High Noon. And, of course, men love that movie.
Right.
If you love Westerns. So it isn't just a girl thing, like you said. The men tap in if they enjoy Westerns. And, you know, many men who like Westerns will read, and next thing you know, they're giving it to their wives.
Right.
Or girlfriend.
I mean, there's an author that I like, and I always assumed it was a girl. And then I realized when I went to email her to say I enjoyed your book, and I realized it was a guy. And surprisingly, he said he started writing romance novels because he used to make fun of his wife for reading them. And one day she threw a book at his head and said something like, you know, you can either shut up or write one yourself. And she stormed out of the kitchen, and he picks it up. He picks up the book, and he starts to kind of leaf through it. And he's like, hey, I can write better than this. And he became a best-selling Western romance novel author.
Wow. See, and, you know, and all it took was being hit in the head.
Well. Yeah, yeah no, with, I, you know, I don't know what it was. I love Westerns, and it's like I love Tombstone or Bad Girls or whatever. I don't know why it was High Noon that made me do this. I mean, like I said, I was, you know, going through a lot, but it, for some reason, seeing that on the big screen, maybe it's because I saw it on the big screen and not on a DVD.
Come on, Gary Cooper, yeah. Grace Kelly, come on.
Lloyd Bridges and Tex Ritter doing the theme song. I mean,
it just grabs you by the heart, you know.
Yes.
It just makes you follow right along. It's all about the heart.
I know.
And that's what you've captured as a writer. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a challenge. That's hard to do.
I know part of it is making sure I don't, like, you know, copy anything. But at the same time, you know, like I said, the first one was based on one little scene in Original Sin with Angelina Jolie and Antonio Banderas, where he discovers that his mail order bride is actually not the real mail order bride. And I used that one little scene to create the outlaw school teacher.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Because I was thinking, okay, now what is my first book going to be about? And then as you keep writing, then you no longer need to find ideas. You kind of create it from that first book.
Tease us. Tell us. What should we expect in The Devil and the Lord Danny? Anything unique or compelling that you could tease our audience with?
Well, like I said, very unique is that you deal with the issue today of a male having a midlife crisis. At first, I'm writing this, I'm thinking, did they have those back then? And then just, I mean, the idea that, you know, a woman today who would be throwing, you know, chamber pots or, you know, shooting like pistols between his legs would probably be put in a, you know, a mental asylum. But back then, I mean, I wrote about a woman who challenges a guy and actually, you know, she turns his world upside down, and yet she challenges him like no other woman ever has, you know? And it's done in a fun, comedic way. You know, like I said, very slapstick, very screwball.
Now, do your brides throw axes?
Do they what? they're very sometimes they can probably be deadly if that's what you mean. They, like I said, they're not prim and proper people. They're not you know, they're very it's kind of like if you mess with them, just watch out. That's what I want. I didn't want it to be as you know, I wanted them to be challenging and challenged. I didn't want them to be boring heroines.
I still don't get it. You're not telling me about the midlife crisis, okay? Oh. I don't get that. Is it because of disappointment that he isn't going to become this big land baron? What's the point?
No, he loves being a saloon owner, but he's turning 40. B, in the first two books, his coworker Rose says that, oh, people like us, you know, who own saloons will never marry, because who would want to marry a saloon owner? So he's thinking, I want to find a wife, but he's thinking that, oh, he's not good enough for any woman. So he's a little, you know, down on that. Also, too, his saloon is being closed down. I mean, so he's terrified of losing his saloon. So he has all this stuff coming at him at once. And all of a sudden, this young girl comes in and, you know, turns his life into a whirlwind, and yet he realizes that makes him happy, and it challenges him, you know. He's no longer depressed.
Yeah, it's a human story, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a situation that many can relate to.
Right.
Building, working hard, sacrificing everything, not having time for a relationship, creating a business, not having any children of your own, and then all of a sudden the threat that everything you've worked so hard for is gone.
Yeah, and you know, in this day and age, I always think of it as the women who are more like marriage oriented, and they want this and they want that. I mean, but back then, in my stories, it's actually the men who are more into wanting to find a wife and get married and have children, and it's the women who fight this, you know? It's not the men who are turning and running. It's the women who are turning and running away from this. The men are the ones that want to settle down and get married.
That's
so
a twist. That's the twist of Amanda A. Brooks in your Western. That's what makes this unique to you. It is a different point of view than you might see in television or movies or that other authors have written. The minimal role of a woman and their sense of achievement, accomplishment. What can I do with my life?
It's so funny because usually people think, oh, female authors, you know, or whatever, don't know anything about writing about men and their point of views, but it's actually more of a challenge to write the women's, you know, roles than it is the men's. I mean, I think it's because I hang around men a lot more, you know. I have more male friends than women friends, and, you know, I'm not saying I'm like the man whisperer or anything like that, but it's like, you know, I can see when sometimes when they're maybe vulnerable or whatever, and it's easier to write from a male's point of view than it is from a female's point of view.
And, know. Hey, before we get away too far, audience, thundermountain.nation, the number 2.com. Be sure to visit the site or simply click the link we've provided with our author's name, Amanda A. Brooks. All broadcasts available free on demand 24/7. Be sure to copy this link and share it with everyone you know. And, of course, buy the books.
Please buy the books.
Yes, I mean, they're reasonably priced. They're well-written. It's a story theme that you'll be able to follow sequentially. And when you're done, you'll have the whole 10 in your library. And we hope you'll have 10 of these shows, too, an audio library of talking to our guest, the author of this wonderful series, Amanda A. Brooks. Thank you, Amanda, for supporting the arts on the Artist First Radio Network, for putting so much heart and soul into your work, and for allowing our audience to approach you and come to a better understanding of your methods of creating the characters On your website, Amanda, there is a photograph, lovely photograph. You have your hand up. Hi. In the background, I see some buildings and a small hill. I wouldn't call it a mountain. Where are you, and are you attempting to be in character? It looks like you could have a horse tied up in front of you.
That is actually the Paramount Ranch where Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman was filmed. And I've been there, I want to say, twice, and both times around the same month. I think that's July or August. And it just was a fun place to visit. And amazingly, the two times I went there, there was nobody else around. I mean, we were able to be there without a crowd, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, can you go into the buildings, or are you able to look in the windows? Do you see any furnishings? Or
you know, they're all bare sets because basically the inside is actually filmed on the soundstage, I think, at Paramount. So that's all kind of a facade, but the outside is filmed on the ranch.
Wow, how cool.
So we couldn't go inside, of course. You know, the buildings, who knows what the state of the buildings are, but it just was so much fun to be there. And like I said, to be the only people there. I mean, there was no crowd or anything at all, and it was fantastic.
Amanda, do you know, are there other Western relics of movie time past available for you to look at?
Yeah, well, there, when I went to Las Vegas one time, I went to stay with some dear friends, and they took me to Bonnie Springs Ranch, which is maybe about half an hour outside of Vegas. And I had the best time there. They had little shows. And they said, oh, do you mind if we go? And I was like, wow, you just made my day. So I love going to these ghost towns. So if anybody says to me, hey, you know, do you want to go to a ghost town? I'll be like, hell yeah. You know, I love these things. I don't get tired of them.
Yeah, because you already have the characters rolling around in your head, Amanda. So as soon as you step on sacred ground, they, like, come to life right here.
I know.
Well, I'm glad you're having a good time with it. I think I deserve a photograph of you dressed in character.
Yeah.
So get that horse, and I want to see some leather and a hat, and let's get you duded up.
I thought about being a model for one of my own covers. You know, maybe that might be possible in the future.
Well, yeah, of course. We all want to see that. And you're such a natural at it and such a good sport. So
I'm just very lucky to have wonderful people who are willing to pose for me. I mean, no questions asked. I'm like, you want to be my model? And they're like, yeah. So...
Well, we have a place at Quaker Square in Akron, Ohio, where you can actually go and dress in the period, and they take photographs in black and white or that brownish color, you know, to image the photography of the 1800s, and it's fun. The ladies, guys love it. They go there and dress up in the period, you know, and have the big, huge bonnets, the big hats, you know, and all of the fluff that goes with it, and then there's a train car outside, so you can have a photograph there too. So yeah, wow. I'm sure you can find somebody who'll get you dressed up for the 1800s.
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. No, that would be fun. I will say, I don't mind writing about it. I'm just kind of glad I don't live back then, because I don't think I could go do well with a corset or. You know, and wearing what they had to wear in the heat.
Well, it's a lot of work.
I know.
So, Amanda, the easy part is writing. The hard part is educating and letting people know that you exist, about the series, and getting it out there. Tell our audience what's been going on. Have you had opportunities to do book signings? Are you looking at positioning your books with other internet search engines, search engine optimization services, or what are you doing out there to promote this Western series?
Well, book three is different only because, luckily, I have, you know, this interview. Basically, right after August, after I had my last book signing and interview with you, I worked at Barnes & Noble, and they were so gracious in allowing me to have my book signings there, even though they wouldn't be making a profit off of it. And then on October, I got the really bad news that Barnes & Noble was closing down. But now I have a great, great job at a movie theater now. But I kind of knew that I would no longer be having book signings. Trying to find a venue is impossible. But at least I have this radio interview. And
the internet. The internet.
Yes, the internet.
There are online magazines. I tell our audiences and our guests regularly, go to your search engine and put in free press releases. There you'll locate thousands and thousands of outlets. They're not all for you, but
right.
You can narrow that search and you can find a targeted audience of people who opt in, who want to know about Western material. Then you have the other approach, which is, there is all kinds of ranches. There are people who love Westerns who are in that market. How can I get my book there? How
right.
can I let them know that book exists?
A lot of people kind of compare self-publishing to the F word. And to me, it's the only way I can have control. And so I just have to, find the venue. I mean, I'm on Facebook, so I, use Facebook to promote my books. And I do that. So, and I try to, I've done a couple of written interviews. The only thing with those is I'll answer their questions or whatever. But in the end, I don't like how they format my interviews. It looks kind of sloppy. So I'm trying to stay away from like written interviews, but something like this, when speaking with you, the radio show, it's fantastic. I mean, I've been telling everybody about it for the last few days.
I know it's
just,
way cool.
I mean, you are such an amazing. You ask the best questions.
Oh wow! thank you for that. I've had a lot of help.
Yeah.
Audience questions, comments, send them to dj@artistfirst.com. Love to read them on the air. But yes.
If anybody has any questions, I'd love to answer them.
And I think, do you have that on your site, a way of communicating with you?
Yes. Yes.
There's an email there.
Yes. So they can make, they can do comments. And, I've been getting some people to, write little reviews on Amazon, which is great. And, I love self-publishing and I love promoting myself, and people just have to realize that self-publishing is kind of like Nook or Kindle, just the new future, and you're only going to have control over
marketing your book, Amanda. That is like a full-time job.
Right.
All
but
by
it's
itself.
Only, yeah, but I'm so happy about it and I couldn't, I'm the only one who knows how to do it properly.
Well, if you do it, you're going to, there's rewards. There's no
yes.
question. And getting the RSS, getting the feeds, getting the meta tags underneath your website for the search engines to pick up, changing your homepage on a regular basis so the major search engines, they're out looking for new content and embedding underneath in your language the keywords so that
right.
the search engines know what to hook, what they're picking up and getting it placed so that when I go up to Google, I can put in more than Thunder Mountain Brides or more than Amanda A. Brooks, but I'm still going to end up with you.
Right.
So, that is the great challenge, I think, and those authors who do it well reap the rewards, no
yes.
question. No question.
Well, I feel, blessed right now. I mean, I see my three book covers on my wall, and, I have three great books so far, and so I'm just very, very happy. And, it seems so little, but it's wonderful. It just is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
It's huge.
I know.
Absolutely huge. You're developing and working on your series. You're not. It's not a pipe dream. It's a reality, and you're doing it every day. So
right.
keep up the good work, Amanda. Keep
Thank
those
you.
Books flowing. And as I said, when we're finished with this, you'll have a library of 10 shows, and you'll have your 10 books, and you'll be able to move on, maybe to continue in the Western genre. You don't know. You might really like this for another 10 years.
Well, that's what I was saying. I actually already have a second series in mind, and it's going to be a Western, you know. So, you know, I thought, oh, you know, try something new. But no, I want to stick with the Western genre. And it's so popular. I mean, for instance, Luke Perry, he just started creating and producing and starring in two great Westerns that were on the Hallmark Channel.
Wow.
And I have both his DVDs, and he's going to be doing a third one, but it just really took off on the Hallmark Channel. And because he said, kind of like how I feel, Westerns was always kind of a passion of his. And to be able to finally fulfill his dream, he wrote the scripts himself. You know, they're called Goodnight for Justice. He wrote the scripts himself. He co-produced them, everything. And it's just like, wow. So I'm not thinking about that right now, but how fun would that be to, you know, see your Westerns on the Hallmark Channel?
That'll be you, Amanda. Amanda A. Brooks, our guest, thank you for spending this time on the Artist First Radio Network. Tony K in the studio, thanking Amanda for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio and encouraging all of you worldwide. Get your copies today. You're going to love the series. You're going to stay with the author and keep the work coming. Thanks, Amanda, for being our guest. Anyone out there you'd love to say hello to, or any closing remarks before we get going?
First, I just want to say thank you so much, Tony. You've been so awesome. And again, I'm so glad to reconnect with you after 11 months. And I just wanted to say, you know, a thank you to many of the people who've helped me. First of all, my family. You guys have been so supportive, especially, you know, my brother-in-law, Warren. He's like, am I going to be a model on your next cover? And I just wanted to say a great thank you to my models for Hunter and Danny, Janina Gricius and Chris Simonian. I wanted to say a great thank you to Al Smith, who is did a beautiful job on the cover art. And again, for Gary Simonian, who helped me with my awesome text blurb. He writes the best text blurbs. So I just wanted to say thank you.